Thank you very much. Thank you all. We would like to thank you for making the time for joining us today for our Q1 results conference call. As usual, we have here our executive team, Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, João Conceição, the COO, and Gonçalo Moraes Soares, our CFO. Rodrigo will start with his opening remarks, and then João and Gonçalo will guide you through the main operational and financial quarter highlights. We will then move to our Q&A session in which you will be taking your questions. I will now pass the floor to our CEO, Rodrigo Costa.
Thank you, Madalena. Good afternoon and welcome all to the call. This quarter was very different from any previous quarters we ever had. We had a change in our regulation, as you know. We had parliament elections. We have a second wave of COVID in the beginning of the year. And we thought that would be the last one, but apparently it is not. We also have a war in Europe, and tomorrow will be the ninth day of the conflict. We see, regarding the future, we see the same you all do. We see inflation rising. We see more geopolitical tensions brewing. We see interests rising, transport and trade disruptions, supply shortcomings, and all that resulting in markets uncertainty. It's simple to talk about all these facts. It's very hard to predict what will happen next. Our year today, the results are the facts. What we did already disclose are the facts. The energy transition investments and security of supply investments resulting from the war will keep us extremely busy in the coming years. The demand for projects has never been so high. The main concern now is how we will deliver. The dramatic growth of renewable generation, adapting the grid and all the systems, the search for alternative clean energy, including the green hydrogen, and develop and encourage our people to deal with all their changes, it's a big challenge. We are and will be very busy in the coming times. For us, this is the time to focus on all these urgent needs while we deliver on the security of supply. We never worked so hard to meet the demand and contribute to solve these threats we are all facing. In Portugal, we believe we are on the right track. Although we have all these challenges, we believe we have a good grasp on the situation, and we know we will be able to do whatever it takes to keep everything under control. We are doing the best we can to develop alternatives and deliver without disruptions. In Chile, the situation is stable with our both operations, and we are moving on the right direction. We remain very positive looking forward. And now, with this introduction, I will move to Gonçalo and João, and after we'll, of course, take your questions.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good afternoon to you all, and thank you for joining. So I think that, and looking at slide 4, despite this tough context that marked the beginning of 2021, Renes managed to have a positive quarter, both domestically and internationally. Looking at EBITDA, you see that EBITDA grew 3.5%. Domestically, we see the impact of the new way we are accounting for TOTEX revenues. I'll go into that in a little bit more detail. And that positive impact comes even despite the negative impact of higher electricity costs. And internationally, businesses are growing well and grew more than 2 million euros in terms of EBITDA. Net profit also increased and improved to around 6 million euros, mostly due to EBIT improvement and some better financial results, which I will also go into more detail after this. CapEx is decreasing, but it's really too soon. The numbers are not meaningful yet to comment. And we still expect a strong year in terms of investment. As you can see, and João will cover this in a little bit more detail, renewable sources are around 50%, and that is a sign of the severe drought that the country continues to endure. Looking at the sector overview, there aren't any major news ongoing. We are working hard, setting up teams to promote the hydrogen agenda. We have a task force that is being now set up to promote investments and to adapt the network to this new challenge. We are pushing for projects, namely in Sines, the H2 Green Valley relating to hydrogen. And so this is something that we are also keeping at the top of our priorities. Also, Thurs has announced some exceptional setting of electricity tariffs. This is due to the high prices that have been registered in the first few months, and they are trying to find ways to stabilize the tariffs along the year. It is nothing that should impact us in any meaningful way. Going to slide number 6, and before passing to João, I wanted to explain a little bit to you how we are accounting now for the TOTEX revenues, because this is, in electricity, a different way of looking at it. So basically, what we are doing, and this has been already talked with the auditor, we are recognizing the annual rent fixed by the regulator. So they have fixed a certain amount for this year, and this is what we are recognizing every month. How is this going to be adjusted? So in 2022, it's going to be adjusted by two factors. One is the rates of return. So as they go up or down, also this revenue will be adjusted. And also the volume driver, so the amount of kilometers of network that we grow. As of 2023, and on top of these two items, then it will be adjusted by inflation and by the efficiency factor. But those two criteria have already been included for 2022 in their calculations, so they will not impact this year. So that's the first element and how we account for that. The second one is the efficiency sharing mechanism. So this is something that the regulator will define at the end of the period. And so as of now, we are including no efficiencies whatsoever because we feel that it's too early in the period to start including them. Our idea is that towards more the end of the period, it doesn't have to be only in the last year, perhaps in the year before the last, we can also already start to do that. But as we start to become a little bit more certain if there are any, what amount are the efficiencies, we'll start to account for them. But this and next year are years that we will probably be not accounting for anything relating to efficiency. Thirdly, the incentives, which as you know, change from the ERA to the IMDT incentives. We are also recognizing the amount that the regulator estimated as their central case. This is what you have in the accounts now. Relating to this, of course, there will be a calculation that will be done at the end when we ascertain the exact numbers and values for the parameters, but we are expecting here to end up the year with a value above that central case, as Oswald is our expectation. Okay. So we can go a little bit more into detail or explain again this to you at the end in the Q&A. But for now, I'll pass to John that will comment on the operational highlights. John?
Thanks, Marcel. Good afternoon to you all. And jumping to slide 8, you have an overview of the operational highlights. I would start by the electricity consumption, and as you can see, there is a slight increase versus 2021, and our expectation is that throughout the year, we will kind of recover these from these two consecutive non-typical years with all the COVID effects that have had an impact on the national electricity consumption. As Gonzalo has already mentioned, we see a significant decrease on the share of renewables, and the reason is very simple, is due to the significant drop from the electricity generated with hydropower plants due to the very dry year that we are going on. Just for you to have an idea, we are at the levels of 30% of what we consider to be an average year for electricity generation. The other types of renewables, they are approximately stable or even increasing slightly, like solar, but not with an amount to offset this very big drop on hydro. In terms of quality of service, we continue to have high levels of quality of service. You have two indicators here, the average interruption time and the combined availability rate of our network infrastructure, electricity network infrastructure, and both indicators are quite above the minimum thresholds that the regulator has set for this IMDT new electricity incentive. On the natural gas side, we also see an increase in terms of consumption, mainly driven by the sharp increase of electricity generated from combined cycle plants to compensate the drop on the hydropower plants. And that's accounting for the overall increase in consumption, as the other types of consumption in Portugal, namely industry, has decreased as a consequence of the very high prices of natural gas that we are facing nowadays. In terms of quality indicators, things could not be better. We have a combined availability rate of 100% within our transmission infrastructure. When what concerns to natural gas, the drop you see in terms of gas distributed is the flip point of this decrease on hydro consumption, industrial consumption, which basically reflects a decrease in the overall gas that was distributed by our Portgás distribution company. And with that, Gonçalo, I turn back to you.
Thank you, João. And so if we go to slide number 9 with the financial highlights, so these are, I'd say I've already commented on them, very much in line with our budget and our plan. You see the EBITDA growing 3.5%. You see net profit growing almost 33%. This is not an expectation of growth that you should have for the full year. And you see net debt coming down 17%. And this, and I will comment again on this, is also driven by high electricity prices, and namely the tariff deviations being generated again at the RAN trading level. Moving to slide number 10, you can see the evolution of EBITDA. So what you basically see is this around 2 million impact on the domestic front and 2 million on the international front. You see the assets remuneration going up because of IRRs, higher asset bases, the new TOTEX accounting that I spoke about. On the OPEX, it's mainly the impact of electricity that pushes it down the EBITDA domestically. And then on the international part, as we had already expected and said, both companies are doing well, both Transemel and Electrogas. And that translates on the international components going up from the 2.2 to 3.8% of EBITDA. From last year to this year, electricity is basically stable, gas distribution also, and you see gas transmission coming down a little bit as a percent of EBITDA. Looking at rates on slide number 11, we can see that there is a pickup in rates since the end of last year, and this rate picking up, you can see that are pushing up a little bit our rates of return. Electricity is the same as last year, but as you may remember, the starting point in regulation was actually slightly below at 4.4, so it's already slightly higher than we and the regulator had anticipated. And in gas in transmission and distribution, you can see clearly the impact of these increases in rates, and you can see a 20 to 30 basis points impact, which if you start to look at the asset base, translates in a few million more of EBITDA that we are already seeing if things stay the same for the full year. Going to slide 12, as I said, it's too early to comment. the numbers are really not meaningful because last year we were recuperating in the first quarter a lot of projects that had been delayed from the end of the previous year due to the pandemic. So we are expecting another strong investment year. Yes, transfers to RAB will be lower because of exactly that reason, but we are still expecting very strong CapEx this year, namely in electricity. That being said, and as I commented before, we are also trying to push for new investment in hydrogen, but you still don't see it. But this is something that between this and next year will start to show somewhere also in the numbers. João may comment a little bit more on that on the Q&A. So in slide 13, you see this big increase in electricity without premium assets. And so there's a big increase that comes on the back of what we had last year as transfers to RAB. The rest, I'd say, is more or less the normal trend, which is gas transmission and land coming down and gas distribution being more or less stable. In terms of the remuneration, and for some time I think that we haven't seen this, you see, although one is almost zero, but you see a positive impact of RAB remuneration in every single business. In gas, namely because of rates of return. In electricity, you already see small impact of asset base, but the reality is that it's interesting to see this inversion and this trend that we hope that will continue to develop as you see the impact of CapEx and as you see the impact of rates of return going up. Looking at OPEX, this is a quarter, and we had an expectation that actually costs would come down. There is this pressure coming from electricity costs. This is an increase versus last year of 2.7 million. Not only it's because the prices of electricity have remained high, but as you may remember, they only started to increase significantly more towards the middle of the year. So the first quarter last year, they were particularly low yet. And so you can see that the increase versus last year is a little bit higher than what we would expect for the full year. That being said, we have a strong decrease also in O&M costs on the operating side that compensates on the core external costs. And you see that personal costs are basically the same. So we hope that if the price of electricity stabilizes or starts to decrease with some normalization along the year, we should see good performance or better performance in terms of costs for the rest of the year. Internationally, we have a good performance that we have already anticipated. Just a comment on Chile, so we see a little bit more stable. There's some changes going on. The constitution is still the constitutional revision is still underway. So let's see. But it seems a little bit more stable. And on the energy side, they have a very similar situation to ours with very severe drought. And so infrastructures play a key role, both electricity and gas, in promoting energy security of supply in Chile. That's one of the reasons why Electrogas is performing so well. There's also new contracts that we already had that would come along. You have an increase in tariffs that were already expected. So you see this 25% plus increase in revenues in that company. Transamel the same. It's also a 25% plus increase in revenues and mainly driven by the growth in construction that came online last year, and we are still recuperating a few construction from the pandemic. So I would not clearly extrapolate these times for. That's not the way to do it. But we are expecting a strong performance from Chile in the rest of the year. Looking at the consolidated view, what can I comment? On the financial results side, there is a stability of the cost of debt, basically the same, around the same 1.6% that we had before. And we also have, and this is the flip side from the last quarters of last year, we have a positive impact of FX rates from Chile. Last year, with the uncertainty going on, we had a negative impact. As you know, we hedge partially Chile, but we do not hedge it perfectly. We do not have local loans at this stage because of the cost difference that when we a few years ago took that decision that we had. We are considering to do it in the future. That will, I'd say, more perfectly hedge the group in terms of the variations of the Chilean peso. But what you can see is that we have 1 to 2 million impact negative last year. We are now having a positive impact. So it's a little bit the recuperation of the exchange rate, nothing very, I'd say, abnormal or strange. On the funding side, just to say that we continue to refinance our revolving credit facilities to maintain our 2-year liquidity looking forward. And that's not in the short term, but I feel more towards the end of the year or beginning of last year, we are thinking about issuing a new bond. So we will keep an eye on how rates evolve. We'll keep an eye if it makes sense to anticipate a little bit given the carry cost also. So we'll be taking that decision in the coming quarter. On the tax side, I'd say everything in line. Effective tax rate is around 27.5%, very similar to last year. And also, and unfortunately, on the levy side, it's still there. It actually increased a little bit more because we have higher assets. But it's still there, and this year it was already fully accounted as normal in the first quarter with its 28 million euro impact. So looking at slide 18 and the full impact of everything, you have this increase that is coming from not only the EBITDA growth, but then also a good performance on the financial results that compensates the increase in taxes and depreciation. On the debt side, and looking at slide 19, there is again a decrease in debt, so it is now at close to 2.1 billion euros. There is a normal decrease that happens in this first quarter, but the reality is that you can see that tariff deviations again came down close to 120 million. 90 to 95% of this comes from rent trading and the same dynamic that played out last year. As you can see now, we already have a balance end of the quarter of 386 million. So our debt, if we correct it for this, would be closer to 2.5. So this is not a problem. We actually would prefer in terms of treasury management not to have these swings in tariff deviations, but it's also not negative per se. Okay? Hopefully we will start to, we are now giving this money back to the tariff. We will see what the decisions are from the regulator if they want to ramp up the way that these deviations are given up to the tariffs. For us, doesn't really have a major impact. So the evolution of this will depend also on the electricity prices that come in the coming months. But to be honest, it's not a drag. Going to slide 20, and just to say that we've had a good performance in terms of stock. TSR as of now, as of this date, is closer to 20%. And so I think that if we adjust it for the dividend that we already paid, we would clearly be above the 3 euro price per share that we haven't been for quite a long time. So I think that we've had, during these first months of the year, a good performance in the stock market. So just concluding on slide 22, so just to wrap up and say that we have a good quarter with trends being there that we feel are there for the rest of the year with good impact of TOTEX revenues, good impact of international operations, I'd say an impact in costs that should be recuperated a little bit as the year progresses, strong CapEx going to be deployed for the rest of the year. We paid the dividend a few days ago, and that was the $0.15 per share that we had already announced in the business plan revision. And so with this, I conclude the presentation, and I will open up the floor for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please press star one if you wish to ask a question. And the first question comes from the line of Antonio Slavic. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation and thank you for taking my questions. I have three questions. First one is related to TOTEX revenues. I don't know if you can provide an idea of the breakdown of between the items that you aggregate before on the TOTEX revenues. The second question is related with all these news on the price, and I don't know if you can comment on it or not, about natural gas, about more links between Iberia and France, and also about transshipment. I think that last week there was a news saying that a press news saying that you will go for an investment of 30 or 40 million. And last question is related with the transfer to HAB. I think that there was an increase of transfers without premium. Nevertheless, as far as I understood, the new regulation will just apply for the current year. So if the transfers were done last year, probably we should see an increase on transfers with the premium. So I don't know if you can clarify why the transfers to RAB are so high without premium. Thank you very much.
Okay, Antonio. So the first question, and then I'll pass it. The first question relating to TOTEX revenue. So most of the, basically the TOTEX revenues are the two items that you had before, which was basically the rate of return remuneration plus your OPEX. So those are the two main items that are within. So if you want to go into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty and the detail, you can have it with Madalena more on a bilateral, but these are the main two blocks that are included in TOTEX revenue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, regarding your second question and what the news that we've been published in the press, what we can comment is that we have been asked by the Portuguese state to study the possibility of both using the Sines LNG terminal for transshipment operations to supply natural gas to northern European countries, namely Germany, and also the possibility, together with our counterpart in Spain, to have developments on the pipeline infrastructure, the third interconnection between Portugal and Spain, and as well as the interconnection between France and Spain. the transshipments is basically, if it will be implemented, it will be an operation through several upgrades. The first one, technically speaking, ship-to-ship transfer, so the natural gas pass from one ship to another, and further on, some other solutions, more robust solutions using the terminal. Regarding the interconnection, these are talks that have been taking place between us and our Spanish counterpart, as well as the French DSOs, to see if this pipeline infrastructure can be developed and how fast it can be implemented.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, you cannot say anything more concrete at this point in time.
Well, as this is ongoing studies and negotiations, and it is not just about what can Portugal do. You know, when we talk about transshipment, it's necessary that to have making sure that the operators who own the gas will seek for available ships to do the transshipment and the ship-to-ship, you know, projects that may happen. From a technical perspective, we can make it happen, these type of projects. The question is, will the operators and when they will start to do them? As you probably have been reading in the newspapers, you know, there's a lot of talks with the Polish government, with the German government and other countries to understand what will be the best solution. We are here to make it happen if and when they decide.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This issue of premium and without premium is more related also to the new model. So basically, the REV is a constant amount for the 4 years, and now it's calculated without premium. If you want, we can also then go when we explain you the amount of the revenues and the details on that. If you want on a more bilateral, so that we don't go into a lot of detail here, we can try and explain you why it comes out without premium versus with premium, but that's just reflecting the new model for the coming year. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Antoine.
Thank you. As a reminder, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. And the next question comes from the line of Ignacio Dalmec from GB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I have a few questions. The first one is on the total exoneration mechanism. I was wondering if you could provide us with the average yield or the 10-year bond implied during the 2022-25 period, which has been used to arrive to the 264.3 million annual remuneration. My second question is on related to the financial results. I believe you reported 3.97 million financial income during the quarter, out of which 2 million are related to exchange rate difference. It would be helpful if you could provide more details on what is included under this line, and looking forward, where should we be thinking for the full year? And my third question is on the international business, namely on Transemel and Electrogas. I was wondering what was the part of the year-on-year increase which was driven by FX tailwinds or exchange differences. Thank you.
Okay, I hope we got this right. So the first one, what they have assumed as their rate of return for their calculation in the TOTEX model for this year was 4.4 for this year, and I think the remaining of the year was 4.4%, okay, which was the starting point that they had in their curve. So we are already now at 4.5. I think that if we stay where we are now, we would probably end up a little bit above that amount, that rate for the full year. I don't know if it's at 4.6, but it would be a little bit above. On the exchange rate, we are not expecting, we don't have any expectation on that. So I think that there was, but that's kind of more FX projections for Chile. What we are seeing is that things stabilized a little bit more in the last few months. They recuperated to a more, I'd say, normalized level. I'm not expecting things to worsen or improve in any significant way. Okay, so they can still improve a little bit, they can come back. So it depends a little bit on the instability in the coming months. It depends on how the constitutional revision process ends up. So there's a few items that can either reduce a little bit the risk and improve again the FX, or create a little bit more uncertainty and worsen. Okay. In terms of Electrogas, and you were saying the FX, so basically the biggest impact in Electrogas are not related to that. So it's new contracts that are coming from new players that wanted contracts to supply gas there. Secondly, the revision of tariffs. Tariff revisions there are indexed to inflation, and so and they were impacted positively by that. Okay. And thirdly, there's also other new small revenues that had dried up some time ago and reappeared. For instance, I'll give you an example since you asked. We are, Electrogas is now having again some revenues with an oleoduct, a very small oleoduct that they own, which is a backup oleoduct for two CCGTs that operate in the area, and that given the stress in the system in terms of gas supply, are now requiring it again for this, let's say, backup plan to be online, which was something that was discontinued some time ago. But it was mainly driven by this, let's say, sector dynamic. Okay? Thank you, Ignacio.
Thanks, Gonzalo. If I may follow up on my first question, I'm not sure if I got it correctly. I think you mentioned 4.4% as a starting point, but is this 4.4% actually the average ROR throughout the 2022-2025 period, or is this just for this year?
It was for.
If I understood your question, you're asking if the update on the average ROR reflects for the remaining period or only for this year.
No,
I understood well.
For the regulatory period, yeah.
For the entire.
It's for the entire, yes.
Yeah.
They assume 4.4 in 22,
23, 24, 25. Okay, perfect. That's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. We have another question from the line of Ignacio Domecq from GB Capital. Please go ahead.
On the net debt evolution, I think you were mentioning the 386 million, which was expected to be expectedly reverted. Is this the final amount that we should be thinking that should be recovered or reimbursed, or should we see this number increase throughout the year?
I mean, there's two dynamics here. So there's the dynamic of the money that we are giving back from last year, which was a lot. and the dynamic of the money being created again in the tariff deviation. So if we were one of these, it could cancel out depending on how electricity prices behave. Secondly, and going back to the tariff mechanism, what ERSE is considering is to speed up the mechanism of giving up the deviations being created this year, because they are seeing that they are creating again a lot of deviations and they want to manage tariffs. And so I'd say that the most expected part is that you will end up with this stock much lower and with the debt higher, and that we will be giving this back in a faster pace, but for us that's okay. So we understand that there is, I'd say, an exceptionality to this, and to be honest, we don't really need or want to have money in the bank that is not ours earning zero. So it's not really our business. And so we have the money there, but it doesn't really help us in any way.
Okay, so the 386.2 million includes any tariff deviation?
It is the entire stock that we have at the end of the first quarter. Okay. So you always have, it doesn't mean that the entire amount will be given up until the end of the year, so it depends on how things evolve with the electricity prices. Okay?
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Garrett Nevis from Invesco. Please go ahead.
I would like to ask if you expect a material increase in your regulated asset base due to this transshipment operation in Sinch, and also on the hydrogen part during next year, also if you should see already some boost also in RAB. Thank you.
Thanks for your question. I think it's a little bit early to answer if there's going to be a material increase or not. It will depend on the solution that that both countries, both Portugal and the receiving country, namely Germany or Poland or some others, will decide it. If it's a simple adjustment on our operations, it's not going to be a material increase. If it's more an ambitious solution, including transshipment, a new jetty, new storage tank, it will be a significant increase on RAB of the terminal. Regarding the hydrogen, we have, as we have been mentioning, we have some forecast for upgradings in our natural gas existing infrastructure to accommodate the share of 10% of hydrogen blending. Those figures are the ones that we have been saying. There is not any change on that regard. We are working in parallel for this Sinish project, this H2 green value in Sinish, which will probably imply some additional capex on our infrastructure.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no more questions at this time. I would like to hand back over to Madalena Garrido for final remarks.
Thank you very much all for connecting today. Of course, we remain available to discuss any bilateral questions or doubts that you might have. I'll thank you all in the name of the management team here for all your time. Thank you.
Thank you.